Well, good morning. Boy, what a beautiful day it is. And good to be alive. I was kind of reflecting. I was at the funeral home, Meredith funeral home yesterday morning, and I talked to the family and stuff, and I just kind of took visit with Fred and Bonnie for a while and their son, and then I just went and kind of sat at the side. And just sometimes I'm a people watcher. Does anybody ever watch people? Yeah, I do. I like to. And I just watched the interactions and I saw the smiles and people hugging. I tell you, it just does something to your heart. It really does. It lifts your heart. And yesterday was kind of a hard day because, like I said, my dear close friend Eric lost his wife and he had a stroke in November, and it's affected his right side. He's really just, and it was a hard, but God is still God, and he is to be praised because we know that we're going to face difficult times. And boy, I tell you what, the other afternoon I was getting this sermon together, and then I forgot to send it to Laura early. I texted, what was it, Thursday night, I think, or Wednesday. Yeah, I said, sorry, I'm sending this late. I had forgot about it. And she said, well, it's a good thing you did now because it's going to be a busy week weekend. But this message, I think, just really fit in perfect for today. It's called The Power of the Holy Spirit. And if you would turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And those of you that can stand, I'd like to ask you to do so, please, as I read from God's Word. This Acts chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, one of my favorite. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, we know that you gave your Holy Spirit to us when Jesus ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit, our Comforter, was sent to us to dwell with us, to give us power. And Father, today, I just really believe that every Christian person needs to have this encounter. The Lord, we ask you, God, to fill this place with your Holy Spirit like a mighty rushing wind and change the course of our lives, change the course of our hearts. And Lord, let us rise up in power and let us live the Christian life that you want us to live. And Father, we can't do it without you, Lord. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before Jesus had ascended back into heaven, he was standing there telling the disciples to wait for God's power to be sent down, that it would come upon them, and that it would accomplish the great commission that he had given to them. And on the day of Pentecost, as it was called, that promise was fulfilled by the coming of the Holy Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit come? Well, it was at Pentecost. It was one of the three major Jewish feast days. And on that day, According to the Old Testament, the priest would bring two loaves into the temple and would wave them before the Lord. And this would speak of the time when the Holy Spirit would be outpoured and believers would be gathered together as one. Now, I want you to really pay attention to what I'm going to say this morning about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. The moment that you got saved and became a child of God, the Holy Spirit immediately came into your life, because who would tell us when we're doing wrong and convict us of our sins? Who would give us the ability to be an effective witness? Who would be able to lead and guide us through every aspect of life that under other circumstances we would be probably afraid to go through? It's all because of the Holy Spirit. I see so many churches that are teaching people today to ask God to give them the Holy Spirit. And that is so wrong. If you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit is already inside of you. But I hear people, when they pray, they pray like they've never received the Holy Spirit. They'll get on their knees and, "Oh Lord, I pray today that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit." Well, we need to stand up and we need to look deep within our heart and realize that the Holy Spirit is there. And as children of God, we need to be asking the Lord to let the Holy Spirit rise up within us and make us the kind of on-fire people that we need to be. Now, what I read to you in Scripture about the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost and filling the people, and they were speaking in other tongues, you need to be aware that there were different people from different nations there, and the ones who were speaking in other tongues, who were speaking in tongues, they were speaking what the Holy Spirit of God put upon them, so that the people from their denomination or their nationality, that they would understand what was being said. But they were gathered together, the Bible says, as one. And I really believe that at this time in our life, we as Christian people need to be pulling ourselves together as one body before the Lord. And I really believe that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill our church houses, that when we come together on Sunday morning, that we're not just having the same old type of traditional services that we've been raised on our entire life, or as long as that we've been going to church. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to move within the congregation of the church. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, starting with our own life, to show us where we are falling short and to help us to have the power to rise up and overcome the things that are keeping us back from serving the Lord at full capacity. The Holy Spirit, I want to ask you this. How many times have you gotten on your knees to pray and you just didn't have the words to pray? That maybe sometimes all you had was a groaning inside of you. There was such a sadness, maybe a grief, so deep, something you've been through, so unbearable, you just didn't know what to say. Sometimes you just got down on your face before the Lord and maybe just cried tears because you were completely out of words. You were tired. I want you to know it's at that time that the Holy Spirit that is inside of you is interceding on your behalf and talking to the Father in the spiritual realm, and you are being lifted up and you are being renewed and you are being restored. That's why we have the Holy Spirit here today. The Holy Spirit works in such mighty ways. The Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to see the hearts and the needs that are what's going on situations in other people's lives. Have you ever seen somebody, maybe encountered a person you didn't know, but something showed you what they were going through, or maybe something was spoken to you in a certain way and you didn't know where it came from? It came from the Holy Spirit. I was listening to a testimony last night. A young lady said that she was in a Chick-fil-A restaurant and she was sitting back there having her dinner. And she said about that time, this real rough-looking guy came in, said he wasn't acting really all together, but he came into Chick-fil-A and he had an old walking stick with him and he was just kind of dirty-looking, but he came back there with his food tray back to the area where she was sitting. And this is what she said. The Lord started to show her through the Holy Spirit that this man was not saved. And the Lord spoke to her through the Holy Spirit to witness to him. And he sat down at a table right next to her. And she said that the Holy Spirit of God gave her the exact words to say, and she started to witness to him in the name of Jesus. And she said the Holy Spirit gave her a power that she would normally not possess. And as she spoke to him, he listened to every word that she said. And when she got done speaking, she said that she felt the Holy Spirit just tell her it's time to be quiet now. And then she asked that man, would you like to pray and be saved? And he said, yes, I would. So they prayed the sinner's prayer together, and this man in a Chick-fil-A became a child of God. And then something else she said. She said the Holy Spirit started to deal with her again, and she said the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart that this man had been involved in demonic activity in his life, and he needed to get rid of any type of demons that had come upon him through that. And she said that she mentioned this to him, and he looked at her and said, how did you know about it? And she said, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And I want to tell you this, the Holy Spirit will move if you are willing to let God move and use you. He will speak things to you about what's going on in people's hearts and lives. It's not showing that you're a magic person or you're not a fortune. This is all coming from God the Father, what He speaks to your heart. And as she spoke this to him, they prayed another prayer. And she said, after they got done praying, she said she believed the demons that had a stronghold on his life had left him because she said that man was at perfect peace the entire time they sat there and talked. And she said what started off as something chaotic, she said it ended up this man got saved and we were fellowshipping together in a Chick-fil-A. And of course, a lot of you know that Chick-fil-A is a Christian restaurant. They're closed on Sundays. And they do that so that their employees can go to church and be with their family. That's awesome. But as believers, we need to be together as one. I believe we need to be asking the Lord to send us revival because so many of us could use, I believe, a massive Holy Ghost fire in our own life. There are so many people around us that are dying and going to hell. Now, how did the Holy Spirit come? It says the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples as they were given heavenly power. Our power comes only from God the Father above. You and I don't possess any kind of supernatural power at all. When Elijah was standing before the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and Elijah had already seen the prophets of Baal make themselves look very foolish because, well, after they made their altar, they were calling out to their false god. It said that they cried out, they did all these things, and still no answer from Baal. And then the Bible said that they began to cut themselves. They were literally taking sharp instruments and cutting themselves because they were being driven crazy. But the moment that Elijah stood in faith and believed God to answer his prayer, he called out to God to answer from heaven with fire. And when he did so, the altar was consumed. And the Bible says that the bullock and all the water that was poured out upon that altar before God answered with fire from heaven, every bit of it was consumed. See, God answered with fire from heaven, and it's God's heavenly power that day, that by the end of it all, the people were saying, "The Lord, He is God." The only way that you and I can function as a Christian body is to rely on the Lord's heavenly power. There's no other way that we can reach the lost for Christ. There's no other way. You can't preach a message or you can't share the love of the Lord if the Holy Spirit has not given you the power and given you the right words to say. And I certainly believe that it's so important that if I'm going to go visit somebody, or if I'm going to preach a funeral, or even Sunday morning before I get up in this pulpit, you know, if I tried to get up here under my own power, I'd fall flat on my face and nobody would get anything out of the sermons. You'd all be scratching your heads, walk out the door and going, "What did he say this morning?" But by praying and asking the Father for the power of His Holy Spirit to fall upon me, to speak through me, what I'm saying is I make myself last. I want God to be first, and I want to empty myself of everything that I've been carrying around because I want God to fill me with supernatural gifts and to fill me with supernatural power. Now, when David went before Goliath, I guarantee you it was the power of the Holy Spirit that God sent from heaven that allowed him to defeat that giant. It wasn't the sling and it wasn't the rock that killed Goliath. It was the power of God that brought down the giant. And I want you to know this morning that God's heavenly power in your life can bring down any giant that you might be facing today. Now, I said something this morning as we talk in the morning before church, but I went up to Big Richard Biddle yesterday and I told him, I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry for your loss, for the loss of your wife." And he said, "Hey," he said, "it's all right." He said, "It's her gain." He said, "I'm okay." That was the Holy Spirit. But you know, this man has got a lot of health issues. This man's been through a lot, and he was sitting on that couch yesterday morning with the biggest smile. And I tell you what, you talk about a strong handshake. That man's got a handshake now, and big hands too. But I tell you what, despite what he's going through, the thing that I saw in him was the power of the Holy Spirit being displayed, because the joy of the Lord is His strength. And I want you to know this too. As he goes through his radiation treatments this week, You know who's going to be right there with him, holding his hand? The Lord God Almighty. And the Holy Spirit is going to give him the power that he needs to withstand whatever it is he's going to go through. And Richard did tell me this. He said, my day is coming when I'm going to get the same reward. I said, amen. We all are going to see our loved ones again. We'll all leave this earth one day. And you know what? While we're here living, we ought to ask the Holy Spirit day after day to fill us with heavenly power. Because there's no other way to live. There's no other way to have real victory. There's no other way to have real joy and strength but to rely on the Lord. I mean, sometimes I think we take for granted having the Holy Spirit in our life because God wants us to go forward. God tells us not to fear. God tells us to rely on Him in all things. And if we go around with fear in our life, then we're not trusting the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Now, I tell you what, before I got called to ministry, there's no way I could stand up in front of people and speak. I was scared to death of people. I was real quiet. Can you believe I was real quiet at one time? I was. I had maybe 5 close friends in high school, and that's who I spent my time with. And if anybody else said hi to me in the hallway, I was gone. I didn't want to stick around and talk to them. Too shy and too bashful. Too backward. As my folks used to say, we ain't never seen a kid never talk to nobody. He's too shy. Well, as soon as I got the call of the ministry on my life, I realized that night when I got the phone call to preach my first sermon the next day, I was going to be preaching, and I sat on the front row scared to death. But, you know, if I had sat there and continued to rely on myself, I wouldn't have never got the message preached. But I had to say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And that's what God wants us to do before Him day after day. Father, there are things I have to accomplish. There are battles I have to go and fight. But I can't do it on my own. I ask you to lead me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you many things. Now, I'm going to say this. I ain't going to say names or who is involved. But there is a situation here not long back, and I'm going to tell you this is how the Holy Spirit works. But there is a situation that happened. And I was kind of, I guess, part, I wasn't involved. I didn't get myself involved, I should say, but I was involved in the matter. But something was going on, and I didn't know anything of the conversation. And when a certain person got around me, this is what happened. This is the truth, what I'm telling you right now. This is the truth. As Wendy Bagwell would say, it's a fact what I'm telling you with my hand up. But I looked at this person, and the Holy Spirit had spoken something to me about the situation and what had happened, and I started to speak it, but it wasn't coming from up here. It was coming from the Holy Spirit. And get this, the look on the other person's face, their jaw dropped and hit the floor, kind of the look I got. And they said, how did you know? Did somebody tell you? I said, no, the Lord spoke to me that you are hiding something from me. And I don't like it. I don't think it's right that you are hiding something from me. And that person stood there and said, well, this is what happened. And it happened just like the Lord spoke to me. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is very real. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit work in your life, He can make big changes. But the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind. And power and life are represented in that wind. God was breathing life into His church. And I believe right now that we need to start saying, Father God, breathe upon us. Breathe within us and give us the power and the life that we need. Resurrect this old body of mine, Lord. I've been stuck in a rut for too long, and it's time for me to start walking with You. I can't walk, Lord, without holding Your hand. And God's saying to you today, well, grab hold of my hand and I'll let you walk, but you got to quit dragging your feet. It's time for us to take the Lord's hand and walk with Him and let Him lead and guide us, because when we walk with the Lord, we will see many blessings happen in our life. God will take even the bad things and He will turn them around and use them for our good. The fire of the Holy Spirit, it cleanses and purifies the church. And the Spirit of God indwells within us and makes us a burning flame. We need to tell the Lord, set me on fire. There's even a song, set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of Thy saving power. Millions groan in darkness. I don't remember the rest of it from there. But I remember that much. And we don't need to be groaning in darkness. We don't need to be walking in misery. We need to have a visible fire burning that when people look at us or when people see us, what they say is, I see the Lord in them. Let the world see the Lord. Don't let them see you, but let them see the Lord in you. That's what's going to attract them. And why did the Holy Spirit come? To indwell us, to empower us, most importantly, to unite us. We should be united as a body of Christ. We the church should never be separate. And I think one thing that really just sickens me so many times is churches get in competition. They do. And I've seen this my entire life. This church over here tries to outdo that church in the attendance or in the program or what they got or how nice of a building they get or how big of a choir, how big of a praise band, whatever. And it seems like churches just nip, 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 nip at each other and they want to bite and tear down. But you know what? We ought to be praying for churches all around us. We ought to be praying for other pastors. We ought to be praying that churches are growing. We ought to be praying that they're operating under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Not tearing one another down. A great commission for us. The great commission is that we tell everybody about Jesus and love everyone the same. We can't pick and choose who we love and who we serve. We have to have the kind of heart that says, Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me. I think probably, and I have to say this, I'm not picking them as my favorite church, but I think probably one of the greatest services that I'd ever been in was up at East St. Louis at 15th Street Baptist Church on Baugh Avenue. Well, Baugh Avenue over to 15th Street. But I'm telling you what, you talk about some folks that loved, you talk about some folks on fire for the Lord. I kid you not, we had church for almost an hour and 45 minutes. Those folks were on fire. Baptist Church, we were on fire. And when I tell you the thing, this fella come out, And he, I, he's probably, I think they said he was 85 years old, and his fingers were bent all kind of different directions. And I asked the associate pastor, he was sitting in a chair up there with me, and I said, "Who's this gentleman coming out?" He said, "Oh, that's our piano player." And I thought, "Ain't no way." Not, I mean, I seen his fingers. And that man sat down that piano, and oh my goodness. He started playing, and when he played, he started to sing. And I'm telling you what, the whole you could just feel the Holy Spirit just being dumped out of that man. Oh, it was good. Oh, no, it wasn't good. It was wonder. It was excellent. It was the best. But that was one of the best services I think I've ever been in, was that Sunday in November of 2003. But what I'm saying today, let the Holy Spirit set you on fire and change your life. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit, and make us a different church from what we were last Sunday.